This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, AJ Styles in WWE and Lesnar, Reigns, and Ambrose in the main event of Fastlane. Will and Jake offer their thoughts. So Jake, now that we're doing multiple shows per week in a shorter format, it's getting really difficult for me to think of questions to ask you at the top of the show.
Yeah, I can see why that'd be the case.
I'm in this habit of doing so, and right now I'm coming up empty. Nothing is there. My brain is a vacuous wasteland.
Can I ask you a question then?
You can ask me whatever you would want.
What did you think
That's going to get deep. Wow.
Yeah. What did you think of AJ Styles' entrance at the Rumble? The whole package, like the pyro, the music,
They missed the best shot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what killed me. I'm like, how do you screw that up? Like the first intro, like really.
Okay, the funniest thing about that, we were about 10, 15 minutes into the Royal Rumble show. One of my friends shows up. She's watching the TV. Maybe had only been watching for 5 minutes and just goes, what director is calling this? This is awful. Like, they don't know what they're doing. Like she just tore into the directing of the show and tore into the idea that when a weapon makes its impact, you cut away from it. It was during the Last Man Standing match. And she was just like, none of these moves look as cool when you do that. And she had never watched wrestling before. It was amazing.
I mean, she must have been somebody who studies either film or theater fairly extensively, right?
Maybe yeah.
Probably a friend of yours in that. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm assuming anybody who has done that could probably come in and watch a Kevin Dunn produced show and just like slap their forehead half a dozen times throughout. Yeah. I mean, we've complained about this plenty of times before. They miss so much with the way that they frenetically cut around with their camera shots. It's beyond the point of getting into it again. But I just couldn't believe for a major entrance when really there was nothing else going on in the match that they managed to miss that camera shot.
Yeah, they made sure there was nothing happening in the match and they missed the Styles camera shot. Other than that, AJ Styles' presence on the WWE stage I thought was exceptional. His theme music was really good. I thought the entrance package, all of it looked nice. His entrance on Raw obviously looked a lot better because it did have the pyro and everything. And they have put together the package to make AJ Styles look like an actual superstar. And I'm a little bit surprised.
I must say that I am as well. I got into an argument with Sean Radican last night about...
Those are productive.
You could say that. about AJ's finisher. And he was on, because I actually kind of enjoyed the fact that they teased it multiple times during the Rumble, and then they teased it again on Monday night, and they, we just didn't quite get to see it yet. And I thought, well, man, maybe they're learning something from New Japan in this case, where, they can make this move seem special and dangerous by having it not happen on television all the time. And he was of the impression, and I guess he must have gotten a lot of feedback, positively affirming his position that, they should have just had him use it on Chris Jericho or somebody night one just to establish the move. And I don't necessarily think that's necessary. I think with a guy with name value like AJ that a lot of people already know, maybe anticipation is the better route. And that's kind of the position that I took.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think either hurts him. If he were winning matches in 2 minutes constantly with the Styles Clash, like on Raw and then on SmackDown and on Raw and SmackDown again, he would get built up and he would look really good. I also think he looks really good having competitive matches where maybe he can't quite get the finisher and he makes fans want it a little bit more prior to hitting it. I don't think either route is bad, mostly because they're making AJ look good. They're allowing AJ to look good. And what did you think of his match with Chris Jericho on Raw? Because I did not adore the Styles and Jericho match, but I thought it was kind of fun. Like, it was good, but not great to me.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't like I loved it. Like, there was just something about it. The timing was a little off. And I think it was mostly Jericho, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if it's, you know, just age catching up with him or what might be happening with his ring work, but he just seems to be just a half a step slow, and you know, he's not always in the right place, and transitions appear a little bit sloppy and disjointed. And I'm just not really impressed with what he's done in the ring. And I thought AJ looked like he was just working his ass off. And then, you know, they would get to the point where, you know, they would work into AJ's offensive spot and you know, Jericho would have to awkwardly sell or the Pele kick was an awkward one, especially. And the springboard forearm, it looked like Jericho, didn't quite understand what was coming or something, because he kind of feigned getting out of the way and then ended up awkwardly taking the shot. So maybe it was just a chemistry thing, but I enjoyed the match because I think we got to see, you know, Styles work pretty hard, and I think he got as much out of Jericho as he could, but I thought Chris had an off night.
Jericho didn't seem to be having a great night, and it was sort of highlighted by him calling spots from across the ring for whatever reason he felt the need to do that for.
Yeah. He does that a lot. Him and Cena are masters at that.
Yeah, I saw your tweet that a Jericho-Cena match is like watching two people yell at each other from across the ring exactly what they're going to do.
It is pretty funny. Like, if you watch their main events 10 years ago or however long ago it was, you could hear them both audibly on camera. I don't know, have you noticed more spots recently being called? Like,
not since the Open Challenges stopped.
Okay. Yeah. True. It seems like they've been either teaching people to like call spots out loudly in the performance center or something, because either they turned up the ring mics or it's just become less of a concern for the production team that they don't really care anymore.
Maybe that's in the performance center. Someone sits in the fourth row of chairs and is like, "If I can't hear you, your opponent can't hear you." And Albert's just a huge proponent of shot calling. He's sitting there, "Let me hear you." Finn's like, "But we've worked this out. Like, we know." "No, you tell him that it's a sling blade." That would be amazing. That would be the best episode of Breaking Ground right there.
And Regal just drinks in a corner or something.
Regal drinks and cries in the corner.
Yeah.
The Yeti is just sitting there on Twitter like, "You think I should insult people again?"
That joke is probably in poor taste given Regal's past problems with alcohol.
Oh, that's so true.
I'll take that one back.
Oh, bummer. Regal's just crying in the corner. He's not drinking. He's totally sober.
Totally sober.
So, yeah, I think AJ Styles has been presented really well in WWE thus far, though. And presented well to me in that same class of guys as Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, in that class. Chris Jericho is in this class as well. Kevin Owens is in this class. Bray Wyatt's in it. The almost top guy class. He's not on the hallowed ground that Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and John Cena get to walk on. But he's just beneath it. And sometimes in WWE, that might be the best place to be if you're a guy like AJ Styles, who I don't know that he has WWE main event promo potential, because WWE main event promos are part of a broken storytelling method that WWE insists on using. But I think
it's Roman Reigns have that? I mean,
no.
I wouldn't think. Yeah, it's like, well, maybe AJ does have what it takes, given what WWE's been pushing the last year or so.
That's true. But AJ, I think, is in a fine place on the WWE roster thus far, and I'm really interested to see where he fits into WrestleMania, because my mental like sample WrestleMania card still doesn't quite have him slotted anywhere, and also where he fits at Fastlane, because I assume AJ Styles will have a major singles match on the Fastlane special event, and that's going to be cool to see, because I would imagine that might be AJ getting to take the reins off a little bit and have an AJ Styles match on pay-per-view, and that should be pretty cool. They brought him in to be great, so
they have Dean Ambrose in the main event, so perhaps he will get slotted in with Kevin Owens.
That's very possible
at Fastlane. Yeah,
so you mentioned that main event. It's Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns. Who is the least popular guy in this main event, Jake?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Who is the assumed winner and conquering hero coming out of this match?
Brock Lesnar.
You think it's Brock?
I mean, if you were going to take money on it today, I mean, if you were to ask most fans, who do you think would win that match? I think most people would say Brock, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I assume Reigns is going to walk out of the winner, but I think if you...
Are you saying, like, if it were a shoot, you'd say Brock?
Like, no, I'm saying, obviously. Like, if you polled people, I think most people would assume Brock would be winning that match.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a more interesting WrestleMania main event, certainly.
I feel like except for those other three Triple H and Brock Lesnar matches, you're totally right.
I don't know. I mean, I just think, Lesnar has that cachet about him. And I think anytime he's in the ring, most people probably think he's favored to win. But
that's true.
I think there's no doubt about it that Reigns is going to win that match. How they get there, I have no idea. Or what Triple H's involvement is during that match, I don't know. I'm assuming we're going to get some kind of screw job schmoz involving the Wyatt family too. So, it seems like they're setting up Fastlane to be a rather uneventful pay-per-view, to be honest with you, because it just seems like it's one of those shows that exists solely to set up the Monday afterwards where they start forming the WrestleMania card.
I would agree with you if it weren't for Brock Lesnar's presence in that main event, because Brock has shown that even if it's going to be a weird schmozzy main event, he's still going to Brock smash some things first. And I think Brock, Dean, and Roman will probably go out there and kill each other prior to the Wyatt family gong sounder thing hitting and the Wyatts taking out Lesnar. So what do you think of Roman being the least popular guy in that match, though? Because that really worries me, given that they want Roman to be the most popular guy on the roster going into WrestleMania. They want Roman to be the guy that people are cheering for against Triple H. And really, in the storytelling right now, Triple H looks more like the conquering hero that loves pro wrestling than Roman Reigns does.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I think, the fact that Triple H cut a rather scathing promo on Roman Reigns that made a lot of sense last night was kind of problematic. So I think they have a lot of work to do with Roman Reigns. I don't know how they save him at this point.
I'm not sure either. And it kind of gets worse by the show. And that's another really surprising thing. It just keeps getting worse with Roman Reigns. In the way that they present him, I mean, they did well with those two shows where he got mad. But even on those, Roman beat up Triple H till he was half dead, then ran back and beat him up again. And then when Triple H came back, Roman showed fear on his face while Triple H looked like the stone-faced vengeance monster.
And then that rest period he took in the middle of the Rumble where he got up and walked to the back. Like, what? Like, was that intentionally meant to sabotage the guy? Like, it made him look like a total, puss. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah. I do wonder if those are, or if that was set up to sabotage him, because he literally said, no, I don't need medical attention. I just need a 45-minute break back here. Someone get me a beer.
Yeah, I need to pour some more bottles of water over my head or, whatever he went back there to do. But
I got dry! He's mad in the ring. No one said I'd be out here for an hour. My hair's going to be frizzy.
Split ends. Yeah. Something horribly basic. But I really don't think they can save him. I'm more optimistic about Ambrose in that match than I am Roman Reigns. Like, I think they, people readily accepted Dean Ambrose as, the last guy standing athwart Triple H. And I think if that had been Reigns, you would have heard pretty loud cheers
for
Triple H in that situation.
Think of how cool it would have been if Roman Reigns, who had been taken out of the match via the rules being violated, and the rules of the Royal Rumble just aren't very good. It's a great match. It's really fun. I just mean in a, like, kayfabe sense. I mean, anything can happen to you, and if you tumble over that top rope, you're done. That's messed up, man. Like, there should really be some guidelines put in place on the Rumble. But so Roman was beat up on the outside. He was thrashed. He was thrown against things. He had to go to the back to get medical attention. Then Roman comes back. It's thrown over the top. And after all that, he's not willing to just give Triple H the old Sid Hogan treatment and pull him over with him. Like, he's not willing to just go in there and help his best friend win the WWE Championship. Nope, he's got to walk away. Not the best Roman Reigns moment either.
Yeah, that part is odd, especially after we saw, you know, the assault on him earlier in the match where, you know, people who had already been eliminated from the Rumble, you know, came out there and beat his ass.
And the Lesnar thing, too.
And the Lesnar thing with the Wyatt family.
Like, yeah.
I mean, maybe they just... Maybe they figured, like, people or, you know, Dean would be upset that he, you know, he interfered and ruined his chance to finally, you know, do it himself, which I guess
Dean Ambrose is not above stealing.
Yeah, I would think he'd have been more than happy to just kind of tip Triple H over if they did the Hogan Sid segment.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think they've really caused a lot of confusion for the Roman Reigns character. To the point where, you know, I think we're going to see Triple H be the cheered fan favorite at WrestleMania, even though, you know, they're not designing the feud around that at all.
You mean Triple H, the almighty bringer of the NXT goodness that's going to take place 2 days before WrestleMania?
No, the authority figure character he plays when he's not playing the guy who brings all the fun in NXT.
I don't think many fans are willing to tell the difference between the two, and that's also one of the issues with the current authority figure storyline. And I'm not going to say that Triple H shouldn't be out there on NXT, because, well, one of those things is really successful and creatively delightful and fun to watch, and one is a chore. And I think Triple H should keep the successful, delightful personality around. But it is really fascinating that he will likely be cheered at WrestleMania. It'll be a lot like the Cena and Triple H match we saw 10 years ago in Chicago at WrestleMania. Only Triple H isn't a guy in his prime. He's easily past it, and I think most people know and realize that, but he will still be resoundingly cheered, and Roman Reigns in the John Cena role will be resoundingly booed. And not that it was good-natured in Chicago that year, but not in the good-natured way that Cena was booed later in his career.
That, yeah, that part has to be concerning for WWE, because, I mean, there's no money in the bank this time to pull out of their hat to have the finish go a way in which, you know, something unexpected happens. And it's like this pleasant third option that allows them to avoid, you know, being in between a rock and a hard place, like they were at WrestleMania last year. So, you know, the Reigns is most likely, you know, going to go over at WrestleMania and regain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and that's how that show is going to go off the air. And I don't know if, you know, the crowd in attendance is going to give them the reaction they want. I mean, is it possible that, you know, that could spur Reigns to go on a meaningful heel run? Maybe that's the case. But I think if you turn the guy heel, he probably starts getting cheered.
Yeah, I think if, and maybe that's another major issue that they have at this point. If you turn him heel, people might actually really like him. And then you have the issue of you've got this top heel that everyone loves who is really in the same boat as being the top babyface that everyone hates. The Roman Reigns conundrum is, in a way, it's the next logical step of the John Cena situation that we were in for the last few years, but it's also far, far more interesting in a really interesting way. So, yeah. I think that'll wrap it up for this discussion, though, of Roman, Dean, and Brock in that main event, and of AJ Styles. Anything to add on either of those?
I don't think so, man. I think we covered it.
Fantastic. Well, have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!